Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Thanks for being with us here today. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Angel, after we got off the air Friday, we were on the air when the Oregon-Washington thing hit, and then shortly after that, the Utah-Arizona thing hit, and that kind of cemented probably one of the more historic days in college football. Would you agree with that statement? You being the long-term college football guy, you popped out and said, I'm going to watch college football. Do you think that Friday was one of the most historic days in college sports?
I'd say so.
Yeah. You just saw a conference just get absolutely blown up. Now we're down to the Pac-4. Is that Angel put together this amazing? Thank you for doing this because I can't keep it straight. I have to have stuff in front of me here. But I love how you did this. You got the Mountain West currently as it sits right now. And then you wrote the Pac-4, Washington State, Oregon State, California, and Stanford. What's going to happen there? Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Do you see the Mountain West merging with the rest of the – with the remaining teams from the Pac-12, Pac-something, which would just be four more? It sounds easy enough, doesn't it? You just insert those two teams, Washington State, Oregon State, California, and Stanford, into the Mountain West. But so much goes into that. Because what is the TV deal? What is the media deal? It is up in the air. Pac-12, we're hearing, was Apple offered them a five-year deal for $23 million per school. We know that that's not much compared to the other TV deals that the SEC and the Big 12 and the Big 10 are getting. Probably the ACC, too. So if they merge, what does that do to the Mountain West's current deal and or the Pac-4's current deal? That's what we don't know.
It sounds simpler than it really is, mm-hmm. and the TV networks are really the ones in control of this. And it's not as simple as Oregon State and Washington State jumping down to the Mountain West because, as of right now, they operate at a higher budget.
Yes.
So that means their facilities, their recruiting
they need
budget,
more.
All of it operates at what they're at right now, which is like $40 million or whatever.
Yeah.
They drop to the Mountain West, they're going to lose almost half of that. And they will have to break down their athletic budget over again.
That's
and
exactly
that is
right.
Not just football that they're looking at.
That's the big key to this is everyone thinks it's just as easy as just inserting those teams. And it sounds great, but you're right.
It's easy, but it's not easy for those schools.
These schools are not accustomed, they have to get. They set their facilities up, everything that they agreed to in the past, knowing that this is what they were getting in every single year. And if they dropped to the Mountain West, that money changes everything. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal there. The other thing, too, to think about, and it's getting lost in all this, is the other sports. Football's once a week. So you're thinking, oh, great, once a week, travel's not going to kill them for one time. They have one late night, whatever. What about basketball?
Well, these teams moving, it's not just a football team. It is the basketball team. It's the volleyball, the tennis team. It's all of it.
It's these teams that play multiple games per week. And that's going to severely impact your schedules. We're not talking about that side of it. The student athletes.
They're not student athletes anymore.
No, they're not. It doesn't feel
Once the football players are getting paid, that means the tennis players, the six of them on the team, they're getting paid too. How much?
Yeah.
$20? Maybe?
It's not equal
on all sports.
It's interesting on that note, too, how college sports fought this so much. The transfer portal, too. They don't like it. They made it because they thought it would be friendly to the student athletes and
It can be.
Yeah, it can be. But
use
look at
it the right way.
Look at college football. Look at these conferences. They all just went into the transfer portal. They're asking teams to go get into the transfer portal.
Oh, and you're hearing stuff like this isn't the teams that are doing this. It's the TV networks.
It's all about the media and the commissioners.
I saw Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher came out this weekend and were saying, they're not no respect for the rivalries or tradition anymore. Everyone loves to throw tradition around with college football because it means something.
Mm-hmm.
These rivalries mean something. These conferences mean something. And I'm just going with it because that's just what it is. I don't like it that much, but it is what it is. We're going to get Power Four conferences, and that's going to be it.
That portion will be the NFL.
You'll have to make your new rivalries with whoever. And, for the conferences that are already in place, like the Big Ten and the SEC, they're you're going to have them there. But the Big 12, it's they're going with this attitude of we're the new look Big 12. We got a the Misfit Toys Island Conference here, and maybe we'll get a champion out of there. I don't know. Looking at that list of teams.
You know what you're going to have to do as far as building rivalries is what Bill McCartney did when CU joined when CU was in the same conference with Nebraska, and Bill McCartney basically just spun it around and said, okay, pick a rivalry. Bam, there's Nebraska. And then he went out, went after him, talked about him, and then started. That's how that thing started.
Well, you'll find that new rivalries will get created through these conferences, but Oregon-Penn State is not. Yeah, it's a big game between two big teams, but that's not like a rivalry.
No, and CU never had a rivalry in the Pac-12.
There was supposed to be Utah.
Yeah, and just didn't like we talked about with the Broncos and the Chiefs thing last week. It's not a rivalry if CU's never really there, never competitive.
But it would make sense because they're they're close to each other, and that's really the kind of the basis of a rivalry is how close are you guys?
Yeah, maybe CU and K-State can be the next big rivalry.
Maybe. But Kansas and Kansas State, they don't have much of a rivalry there either.
No, because Kansas isn't very good, not typically very good at football. K-State's not.
Well,
they were the last couple of years.
For each other to make sure they're both good.
It goes full circle with all that stuff, man.
Well, guess what, CSU, you're in the waiting line right now.
I don't know if
where
this
you're
is
going. Are you staying? Are you leaving?
I don't know if this is true, but rumor is that maybe we're going to hear something from CSU today at noon. Like there might be something coming out. I don't know. It's all rumor. I've seen it on Twitter. People are saying that there might be something coming out today, or there at least a statement coming out. Hopefully, it's not like Stanford's statement. Did you see their statement?
Please don't
like,
do another Pac-12. We're all in this together. Statement.
Yeah, please
because
don't do.
That didn't. That was a lie.
Stanford's statement was like,
we're disappointed in our.
Yeah, it was. We are aware of the University of Oregon and University of Washington's intended. This was earlier. Departure from the Pac-12 conference. Our primary focus at this time is analyzing the available options and making the best decisions for Stanford and our student athletes. We remained optimistic about Stanford's athletics future and remain committed to pursuing excellence in college athletics. I mean, that's nothing. That's nothing. If you're a Stanford fan, that gives you absolutely nothing to go off of, which I don't know what you say. You can put your plans together. You can put your pitch together, but we're not done with this, but we're rounding things out here. The remaining question is those four in the pack. And then, of course, what happens with the ACC? The goal to get to 20, the Big Ten certainly closer to that than anybody else. They have 18 with the new additions with Washington, Oregon, UCLA, and USC. They're at 18. The SEC's at 16 with their additions of Texas and Oklahoma. Big 12's at 16 with Utah, Arizona State, Arizona, and Colorado joining forces. And we knew UCF, Houston, BYU, Cincinnati. So they're at 16. It's weird how this is all kind of forming. Like we all thought it might, that we would. Part of me thought it would, but I didn't want it to happen. Is that just four master, powerful, above all conferences, and that's certainly what it's looking like.
It would have been easier if the NCAA was spearheading this and saying, "Hey guys, we are doing a full realignment of college football. We're going to talk it over, set everything up the right way, and then year X, that's when it starts." They could have done it that way, but they didn't, and it's not their fault. It's the TV networks that are controlling all of this.
This is the problem. It's funny. This isn't as bad of a – I'm not going to say it's a bad question. My wife is not, like, in the know on all this stuff, but she asked me a question. She's like, would the NFL ever consider doing stuff like this? Like division realignment, things like that?
Only
out of necessity would they do that.
They absolutely should.
But they won't because what you just said, Roger Goodell and the Shield, is they make all the rules. They control everything. So the teams are under that umbrella. The NCAA, I mean, we've talked about the SEC breaking off at some point. If that ever happened, now it's not going to happen, but that was potential. The fact that that could happen, just it's all over the place in the NCAA. I've always thought this. The NCAA, you have to have one person or at least a group that's in charge of everything, meaning college football, the season, the regular season, the bowl season, the playoffs. It should all be one, but it's not. It's all spinoffs and different factions, and the media deals control this. The NFL signs all their media deals, and they figure that out. Roger Goodell's in charge of all of that, and that's how they figure it out. The only way that they'll, move around with divisions and stuff is out of necessity. Like when Seattle was in the AFC West and then Houston came into the picture and made it even in the AFC so you could move Seattle away and put them in the NFC West. So that's the only reason. But it's not that crazy of a question because you ask yourself, why is it happening like this in college football? Because there's money, but it's not necessarily just to the because it's NCAA football. It's money going into specific conferences. Flying Dutchman says, this is a great time for several colleges and universities to get rid of their lousy football programs. Well, and that...
I mean, that's an unfortunate side effect of this.
Yeah, like Stanford, that's a school that makes money for other reasons.
They could go independent if they wanted to.
And they might.
They have the money to do it.
They very well could.
I think you'll see a few teams that get left out make the move to just being an independent support. Like if you can afford it, like Notre Dame and Stanford, then you can do it.
Tom messaged on our poll question today. Stanford probably goes independent in football and West Coast Conference to replace BYU. And West Coast Conference?
For other sports.
For other sports, okay. Yeah, and that's the other part that's so interesting about these conversations is it's not always, just like for UNC locally here, wrestling is in a completely different conference than what we see most of the teams.
We talk about like the casual fan and how confusing this is to them.
Mm-hmm.
Does this push more eyes to FCS football?
I don't know, Blake.
With as structured as they have it right
now?
It's
very structured. Why is it so structured? Because it's
easier to control.
And the NCAA just controls that.
There's not as much money into it, which you can look at Montana State. There's plenty of money there for their program. So,
well, and it's a clean system.
It's clean. There's 15 different conferences, but there's 16 teams.
You know what you got to do to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's pretty damn easy. You know what's in front of you. For college football, it's always been, yeah, but there's always got to be this, who did you play? When did you play him? How did you play him? What's your schedule look like? All that stuff. That's why it's a little wonky for the casual fan.
Well, how much does these TV networks, do they look at FCS? Because I know, you know, Big Sky has a partnership with ESPN right now. That'll go for a few years, but that's just ESPN Plus, so that's streaming exclusive. Can FCS get to a point where we're actually getting games on TV more regularly?
And that's the number one thing. Making your team and your games available to people in an easy way. Very sitting around on the couch, it's easy for me to find the games and things like that. That's what you have to do if you want to ultimately be a big player. There's other things involved, too. Texter, is the NCAA evidence that free market capitalism may not be the best system? I don't know
if I want
to.
The NCAA didn't run itself as like a business.
It's
an organization that monitors college athletics.
I'm not going to generalize it to that point because to me, the problem is you have so many systems in place. You have the NCAA regular season and conference championships. That's one season. And then the bowl season back in the day was the BCS, right? Separate from the regular season. They chose what they were going to do with their bowls. Now it's the college football playoff. They control. Now they kind of know the path's a little bit easier with the 12-team playoff. But I don't know.
Those rules could change tomorrow.
They could now.
And I expect them that they will be meeting at the end of this offseason and discussing, okay, we may have to change these automatic bids and that.
Because if they're saying six conference champs get in, right? Guaranteed, mm-hmm. six conference champs.
Highest-ranked conference champions.
Well, then that means right now, assuming the Pac-4 is no longer a Power 5, you've got two conference champs now that are not Power 5. That's the way this would go. You have a champ from the SEC, Big 10, Big 12, ACC, and now you got to bring in one of these two group of fives to get in. They may change that now. They may go back to it and say, it's going to be
four champions and then
four
eight wild cards.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that might just be best.
That's the scary part.
You win your conference, you get it.
I hope they can't just change that. Hopefully they sign some kind of deal that it's a long-term deal on this, but it's college sports.
I think by the way the playoff operates, when they make new rules, it's set in place for a number of years. Like the 14 playoff was set for 10 years, from 13 to 23.
So maybe it's 10 years.
So I don't know if this next one is that long. It may be shorter, because they're leaving themselves room to adjust it. But I don't know if that 12 team is going to be exactly how it's presented today.
Well, and that's why right now, there's not a huge freak out on CSU side of things, because as it stands right now, the path is still pretty clear. Win your conference and hope that your conference is the strongest, is one of the top six conferences. Which, wouldn't you say that if this was the case last year, it might have, the Mountain West might have been able to make a case for that? Well, now if it's four of the big conferences get in, four champs get in, now you got a chance, if they keep it like this, of the Mountain West has got a 1-2 shot here. So that's really promising for Colorado State going forward.
Yeah, so Mountain West, say, you know, Colorado State wins the Mountain West at 9-2.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Tulane wins the Conference USA and they're 9-2. It would be between those two teams who gets that last automatic spot, and then you would go off straight the schedule, FPI, all that stuff.
Yeah, you'd have your committee there going through it again.
So it's basically the Mountain West versus Conference USA versus American,
yep,
to get that sixth spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best of those three.
Yeah, so you look last year, if we're just looking at overall records last year, the American was, they had a 12-2 team in Tulane in there, as you mentioned. And then the rest, you know, 9-5, 9-4. You go to what the Mountain West did last year. Conference USA, they had an 11-win team, and then a lot of, you know, a couple 9-win, one 9-win team, 8 wins. You look at the Mountain West, and they had, see, not as strong, but they had better teams overall. They had a 10-4 team, a 10-3 team, had another 10-4 team. So that's where it's going to get really complicated. But if they go back and change it, and they say, no, we want to guarantee that we have more from each of the big four in there. And maybe they do it to the point where it's, we're going to go four champs from the big power conferences and then the runner-up from each conference and then the wild cards, because that'd get you to eight, then you'd have four more, and then you go wild cards from those conferences, from the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC. If that's what they really want, like a national college football fan that just likes great football and great teams and great following, you probably want all your playoff teams coming from the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and ACC.
But the cool thing about those 5 and 6 seeds is that you get to host a playoff game. So if CU wins the Pac-12 or the Mountain West,
yeah,
and they get in that top six spot, there's a playoff game in Fort Collins.
And that would be something. And that, listen, right now, that path is there. Norvell was on with us last week saying, hey, right now the chance is there for us to get in. What do you think is going to happen? Do they figure out a way to merge with these Pac-4 teams, or do the Pac-4 teams just dissolve? Stanford goes independent. Cal and Washington State and Oregon State maybe go to the Mountain West?
They're going to have to.
It's going to
hurt their budgets, but they don't have a choice. If you want to keep going with football, you're going to have to cut your budget in half and just make it work.
Man.
And, you know, for the first couple of years, it's going to be tough, but eventually it'll get evened out, and then by then, maybe the Mountain West can renegotiate their deal. And, you know, hey, we are becoming that fifth Power 5 conference again.
Don't you think, again, the non-conference games for the Mountain West mean so much this year? Like, mm-hmm, they mean a lot.
The Mountain West has to show the rest of college football that they're here, they're not going anywhere, and we're a strong conference.
I think wins matter for some teams, and some teams it doesn't. Clearly, CU, the one win season and their lack of success in the Pac-12 didn't matter to the Big 12. The primetime effect is what mattered. For CSU, I do. For Mountain West teams, I do think it's about your wins and your following. Boise State wins a lot. They just don't have that big of a following. Dixon saying, all this stuff is giving me a headache. And is it really going to matter in the end? It's still going to be the same teams when the dust settles. Same teams in the finals, you think? More than likely. But it does give you an opportunity. I've said this for millions of years, Angel, that I think that you become more attractive to big-time recruits if you know, if your sales pitch is, we're going to go win the Mountain West, we're going to go get you in a playoff game. Or you could go sit on the bench for 2 years with Alabama and not play. You come here, we'll go run the Mountain West, and you're going to get on national TV when we host a playoff game. How about that? I still think that's a recruiting tool, and that could help these smaller schools kind of grow. But there's a lot that goes into it. At the end of the college football season, Vegas should set the playoff based on the favorites. College football would hardly exist if it weren't for gambling anyway. I don't know.
Because I could just put a ton of money on one team and then they're the favorite.
Yeah, that's not always how it goes, right?
Gambling
moves and shifts based on where people are going with it, with their money and stuff. Good, the bad, the ugly, Angel. Let's get to it. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, hey, how about the Rockies? They win the series in St. Louis for the first time since 2009? That does not seem like real life, but it is. And the Rocks got another series win. Good for them, although the Cardinals are in a really tough spot as well. Let's go with the bad here. United States soccer team, women's soccer team, they lose to Sweden on penalty kicks in its earliest Women's World Cup exit ever. The America's bid to win an unprecedented third consecutive title ended yesterday on penalty kicks, and that is now the earliest exit in their tournament history for the U.S. Four-time winners of the World Cup. The ugly is, I'm just going to say it, it's the end of the Pac-12. That's ugly to me. I'm certainly entertained by what's going on. It is big news. It's big business. But at the end of the day, these teams were just this conference was just evaporated before our eyes, and it's leaving teams like Oregon State and Washington State, not just their football programs, but all of their programs, in complete disarray, not knowing what's the next step. And you pointed out something great, such a great point, that it's not as easy as just jumping ship to the Mountain West and hope for the best. They have a certain amount of money that they believe is coming in every single year to allow them to function at the level they're accustomed to. Now they would have to come in and change everything, which would mean maybe, again, cutting programs, cutting something, changing the way you do things, raising prices, all of that. It does affect these schools that are not getting on the big ships. So it's entertaining, and in many aspects, it's good for college football. In many aspects, it's bad for college sports in general. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. 28 minutes after the hour. In the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to catch up with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, who is all over this stuff, all over the future of CSU, thoughts on primetime, and his comments over the weekend, reiterating that they are going to win, they're going to win, and they're going to win some more. He is doubling down on it. How do we feel about that? Broncos have a football game this week. They're playing on Friday against Arizona. And that team looks like Nathaniel Hackett on steroids right now, Angel.
Shots. Explosives. Explosives. You can run.
You can run, but you can't get your play figured out. Like that, there's a viral video on Twitter of Arizona trying to get guys in position, and they just can't do it.
When you're trotting out 13-year-old Colt McCoy as your quarterback, good Lord, dude, hang it up.
He's been in the league a while now. I always
13,
forget.
14 years?
I always forget. It's amazing it's been that long.
And he's one of the last like of that 2008 to 10 generation of college football that lasted.
Mm.
Come on, Colt, just retire.
Yeah,
please.
Man.
You're just not helping.
They are in trouble. Arizona's in trouble. Are the Broncos in trouble? We'll talk more about that throughout the day. Today, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It just kind of feels like, I don't know, man, the beginning of this football season for us locally, for the teams that we're paying attention to, I feel like, I'm going to make another analogy, Angel. We did that a lot last week, but I feel like we're on the night's watch right now, and we're just watching out over there, and the dead are coming our way. And we're like, it's kind of exciting and scary and terrifying, but action's getting ready to pick up. That's how I feel right now. We're standing on that wall waiting for what's going to come here.
Ready to blow the horn three times.
Going to have to blow the horn because I'm nervous about all of it now. I mean, I'm worried about Friday that Russell Wilson goes out there and starts and goes like they go three and out on the first possession. Maybe Arizona goes three and out as well. And then we go three and out again. It's just a bunch of three and outs, and then that's it for the starters. And then now we're left with this, oh boy, uh-oh. I'm worried about CU. Primetime's doubling down on the we're going to win. He brought Urban Meyer to town. Urban Meyer flirted with CSU, not as a coach, but he was there trying to help Adazio get a job, and now he's in Boulder. Leave our Colorado teams alone, man.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Go bug Russ. You've got CSU. This Ford Air Raid thing, it's got to take off. And if it's a joke this year, if it's not good, then I would say farewell to any big plans that you had in mind for this football program. I mean, it's kind of a scary time to be on this wall, you know. And you and I are Jon Snow, Angel. We're running around trying to warn people, dude. There are like dead things coming this way. And all these other, you know, CSU fans and CU fans are all like, CU's going to win at all costs, guaranteed, and CSU's going to put themselves in the best spot. They're going to go win the Mountain West. They're going to be in the Big 12 when it's all said and done. And you and I are just trying to warn people, like, guys, there could be stuff coming here. There could be bad things happening. Or you just don't stress about it. Stop by on the Rock Slicker, pick up our game beer of the week from Horse and Dragon. This one's a picnic. Rock Pale Ale. Picnic Rock Pale Ale from Horse and Dragon. Makes sense with the analogy, right?
Ah, I see what you're doing.
That kind of works, doesn't it?
There were dragons in that show.
There were dragons. What a great show for 88% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bother finishing season 7.
Just make up your own ending in your head.
Once Dany sails across the sea, that's it.
Yep.
She made it to Westeros, and it was a happy ending.
Write your own ending. That's what I would do.
Everyone got together, they had dinner, and it was wonderful, happy transition of power.
Has that guy ever written the final book
yet?
No,
he's working on it constantly, though.
Isn't that weird? Like, the TV series has been done for a few years now, and you still haven't finished the book that season was based on.
That was supposed to come out, like, 8 years ago.
Did he just give them the cliff notes of what he said was going to happen, and then they just kind of,
they threw it out, yeah.
They threw it out there, and they just made everything else up in between. He said, here's how the ending's going to happen. I'll let you guys figure out how to get there.
Oh, so we just have to get there?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll get there.
We're
going to end the show. We're going to end this show.
We're going to hurry up and get there because we got Star Wars to do.
Burn everything. Oh, wait, no Star Wars.
Just burn it quickly. Oh, boy.
So the dragon was good, though.
Oh, any of the dragon scenes were.
Well, the new show is good.
I still haven't seen it yet. It looks good, though.
You got to watch it.
I'm on my Facebook algorithms now. It's all they give me is Game of Thrones stuff, and what is that one called?
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon. It's all I see now. So I'm going to have the whole series down when they keep showing me all these clips from the seasons. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. How are we feeling about Friday? Broncos, Cardinals, going at it. Starters will play. A little concerned?
A little bit.
Just the talk. Now, you and I haven't been to camp or anything, but there's certainly been enough written about camp, and Denver media has been all over Broncos camp, and it's not an overwhelming positive picture that's being painted right now about Russell Wilson.
Well, I think when Peyton got here, he presented this new Broncos, and we're not going to be in the media. We're going to work hard and just keep to ourselves and be anonymous and all that stuff. And it feels like since training camp has started, it's been everything but that.
It's been
comments and coach battles and injuries and all kinds of just weird stuff when maybe a lot of us just wanted training camp and getting football back.
Yeah, it's been, you know, obviously you can't help with what happened with Tim Patrick and Jonas Griffith and those situations, but I don't think we needed all the extracurricular stuff. You know, the weird manifested rivalry now between the Jets. Didn't know that we needed that right now. We've got to figure out our own situation first. Well, County Swami says, if you're Sean Payton and the offense struggles, do you leave them in until some positives take place? Well, you don't want to be known as the guy that left Javonte Williams in too long and then he gets hurt. I don't think he's playing in this game, though, unless they've changed. Doesn't sound like he's going to go, but maybe that's changed.
Preseason's very interesting in how you approach the game. And, you know, you could take it seriously. You can take some of it not so seriously. for the Broncos, I think if you left them out there too long and they still didn't look good, then that starts planting seeds within the team that this isn't going to look good in week two either.
So you do kind of want to get something. You want to walk off the field and see the ball go in the hoop.
Yes, but if you can get one or two drives that are just moving down the field, I would take that in preseason one.
Yeah, you're not looking at touchdowns. I mean, yeah, that'd be great.
You want to see the guys executing the offense. No false starts. No, can we get the play in before 5 seconds on the play clock? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you change your philosophy. I think you go into the preseason, and if your philosophy is we're going to give them two series, the offense is going to get two series or maybe the first quarter, and that's it. You don't change it. I've seen some coaches will change it.
But then the expectation changes. Like, oh, are we trying to score? Are we trying to get this one drive in? We can get this one play that we've been working on? It changes it.
Yeah. Maybe you go, oh, we liked what we saw there. We don't want to end on that note just yet. We want to. So there's potential that could happen. I would say, even though you're worried about Russ, stay with your philosophy, whatever that looks like. You're going to go with him for 2 to 3 series, or you're going to give that offense the first quarter and however that unfolds. But that's it. You're not going to force the issue in preseason. How about the Cardinals, though? Jonathan Gannon? I mean, that's a viral tweet now. They look absolutely confused. Worse than what we saw. I went back and I was watching the end of that Seattle Broncos game last year. They spent.
Why?
I was just watching Manning and Shannon Sharpe's reaction on it. And I just forgot how bad that was. They had like 56 seconds left. And they're just like walking around.
Call timeout.
They have
call
three
timeout.
Timeouts.
Call timeout.
They had
not
three.
Calling timeout.
It's not
lining up. Oh, God. Missed.
They got to the line of scrimmage. They couldn't figure out the play. Had to call a timeout. So they wasted like 30 seconds and then called the timeout anyway. Oh, that was a terrible time. I forgot how bad it was. That's when we all were like, what is happening here? What is going to happen here?
No, it's fine.
It'll be fine. No.
It's fine.
Turned out not so fine. But the Broncos will be going out against Arizona on Friday. I'm excited for it. But like I said, it's... This one's at Arizona, I believe.
Okay.
They're at Arizona and then at San Francisco and then home against the Rams.
And they do have joint practices with the Rams before that one.
So that'll be on NFL Network against the Cardinals. Mm. It's not on Fox, or it's not on 31, so don't have to worry about that if you're a DirecTV person. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
We always want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They work with Rams players, Eagles players, and just like regular players like us. Trust me, I went to Orthopedic and Spine Center a few years ago. I was having some shoulder issues, driving me crazy. Couldn't lift my shoulder all the way. Couldn't exercise. I have a 5-year-old at the time I went. He was like 1.5. And I was like, no, this is not going to work for me. I got to be able to lift this little guy up and all that stuff. And exercise. And so I go to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, and they gave me these therapies that I went through that really helped, just different exercises I could do, stretching techniques, so I didn't have to do surgery or anything like that. So I know they have my back if I ever need to go back there. For over 53 years now, they've been doing stuff up here along the Front Range and specializing in the medicine of motion. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So we don't really, like right now with Javonte Williams, we know he's going to play in the preseason, but it might be more like a week two thing. I don't know that I'd chance it just yet. I'd give him another week here before really putting him out there. You want him to get tackled. You want him to get hit and everything. But you just don't want to force the issue here.
It really depends on if you're putting out your starting line or not. And I'm not putting out Javonte Williams behind my second string O-line. It's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the O-line will be out there. unless injuries or anything happens there throughout the course of the week. But I would imagine, yes, you're going to be very careful with Javonte Williams. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Hey, new listener to the program, 303, put your nickname on there. Yeah, we got to get you a nickname. Just found you guys on Ram Nation. Love it, and we'll listen more. For the Rams realignment, while there is a path for a college football playoff, without being without big money, it's super tough. Mountain West Conference merge into Pac-4 makes sense. However, that's a huge stretch to keep Stanford and Cal. Ultimately, CSU needs to win. Yeah, that's to me, that's like the basic way to look at it, and that's the real way to look at it. Go put together a hell of a season this year. Over-under on DraftKings is 5 for CSU.
Get people looking at CSU. If you can, you know, sneak your way into that top 35 teams, which isn't unrealistic, but you could do it and get people talking, hey, what's going on with CSU? Let's keep an eye on them next year. Let's keep an eye on the Mountain West as we move forward with conference realignment.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to go out there and hopefully you beat Washington State. Like, that would be huge.
I mean, they may be feeling a little down on themselves.
They don't know where they are now.
So they might not be playing football next year.
We're out of the conference. We don't know what to do. Now take advantage of that. I think winning for CSU cures a lot of things and gets people talking about you. Over-under for CSU is 5. Over-under for CU is 3.5.
I like CSU plus 5.
You're going over?
Mm-hmm.
That's good because you're at that 5, too, which I think 5 is really reasonable. I'm glad they didn't put that 5.5 hook on there. CU 3.5?
3.5 is right there. I could see them winning 4 games, but I'm not overly confident that they're going to get to 4, so I'd say probably 3.
Okay. That's if this were regular times, this was just a random new coach coming in, I'd be like, yeah, 3's probably right. But he doubled down over the weekend. We're going to win. We're going to win. He said if he could say in a different language, he would say that.
Well, do it. I thought you were prime time.
Yeah,
you
go learn a different language.
You can't talk to me in Spanish.
What did you think of Urban Meyer being there?
That's weird.
You don't want that guy around you. Now, he's probably there because they're covering CU, and that's going to be a game that Urban Meyer is going to be focused on at one point, game.
Fox game of the week or something.
Or something, yeah. So, okay, I get that, but... Mm-mm.
Seeing like a room of college students applaud Urban Meyer is it's weird.
It's weird. Yeah, after everything we just saw him do and it's like, the way he went out in the NFL, that was the worst coaching job in NFL history. Hackett, dude, Hackett's got nothing on what you did to Jacksonville. No doubt about it. 11:50 the time. Wrap up hour number one. We'll get to the lunch rush coming up at noon. Friday was a historical day in college football. Angel and I will do our best to put the pieces together for you and what the current state looks like for college football and these realignments right now. Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post. All that and more coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
/11:54, welcome back in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. It is just an absolute crazy time when it comes to college football, college realignment, all of this. Brett McMurphy is just a great follow with Action Network. He has been all over this stuff. He tweeted this out 31 minutes ago, specifically to the Mountain West, or about the Mountain West. Who knows what happens with Mountain West, but the only reason it exists today is because former Commissioner Craig Thompson pushed for a decade to get presidents to approve the current exit fees, $17 million with a year's notice, $34 million less than a year. What was the Mount West exit fee before 2021? There wasn't one. Yeah, that's what you want with your commissioners, looking forward. And that he's exactly right. Teams might have been gone. If there wasn't an exit fee, you got to have an exit fee. You have buyouts and all that in place for coaches leaving. You got to do that now with teams leaving.
Do you know FSU's is like $120 million?
Oh, geez.
It's massive. And then Clemson's like $70 million.
That's how you do it, man. That's how you keep teams there. Is now we've got teams leaving conferences like it's a transfer portal right now.
But it also, it's helping the ACC stay afloat because they have all their teams locked in for another 13 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to have teams buy in, and it's tough to do that sometimes when there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding you. Arizona President Bobby Robbins on selling Apple package. Quote, we were trying to think, well, it's going to be like selling candy bars for Little League, end quote.
Yeah, you feel bad for the kids, so you buy like four or five of them, and then you end up not eating them because it's like, I don't really know that brand of chocolate.
Oh my gosh, man. The rumor is that Apple offered a five-year deal, $23 million per school per season, right?
With the ability to increase based on fan support.
Based on subscriptions. But I want to know, like, how is that
new subscriptions?
Well, is it, what if so-and-so's subscribing and you're seeing a mass number of people subscribing that just want to watch Boise State? And I guess you would never know that. I guess you could see who's watching them.
How many people already have Apple TV?
Yeah.
Do you count that?
25 million? Is that what I looked at last week? 25 million? Oh, my goodness. It's just sad. It's all over the damn place, and everybody's got the perfect plan laid out via social media. It's a lot harder than just saying it, making it so. Oregon State, you are a Mountain West team. Congratulate. No, there's so much that goes into it. But it sure is fun. It's why college football is great, because we can pretend, we can put our own little list together. Lunch Rush, coming up next.